A very good morning to you. Welcome to Little Swatara. We're so glad you're here on this second Sunday of Advent. We pray during the Sunday school time, right before that started, you enjoyed the youth yummies, and they also were selling coffee, and you'll find that throughout the Christmas season until Christmas arrives. So tea or coffee, and it's fair trade, so what a wonderful gift to give to someone this Christmas. We also just want to highlight Carl Ballsball is going to be celebrating his 90th birthday on December 14th. So if anyone would be willing to participate in the card shower for him, there is a box on the Narthex table for cards. So we'd really appreciate any cards that you could give to Carl and just encourage him during this time. And we also have a thank you for the birthday cards and wishes, and to the Women's Fellowship for the gift from Daryl Yonker. And just on behalf of our family, we want to thank everyone for your meals. Denise is doing extremely well, and just thankful for God's hand of healing upon her, and the meals and just your prayers made all the difference, so thank you so much. Tonight we do have the event at the cafe. It's Christian Poetry Fellowship, so we encourage you, if you're interested in hearing some poetry, and there's a gentleman who brings his guitar and does poetry through song, we'd love to have you join us at the cafe at 6 o'clock tonight, and so that's at the cafe. And the children's program is going to be on the 13th. That's at 9:30 during the Sunday school hour. So the children's program, Aaron the Allergic Shepherd, will be taking place on the 13th. And then the following week, the 20th, we're going to have just one service at 10:30. And that is also our Christmas caroling date. So if you love the Christmas carol, even if you don't enjoy singing, just come on out and make a joyful sound. And we'll go through the community of Bethel meeting at the cafe at 6 o'clock and enjoying some refreshments and hot cocoa afterwards. Are there any other announcements that we'd like to highlight this morning? Yes, Pam. So poinsettias are still available. They're red, white, or marbled. And as you notice, the deadline is approaching very quickly. And also one other announcement this morning. Okay, so the last Bible study will be this Thursday until after Christmas, and we pray you'll be able to make it to that as well. So that, and men's ministry will postpone until the beginning of the year, but we really appreciate everyone that's been coming out to our men's fellowships at Dutchway, but we'll take the month of December off. We do have great news. The shirts that we were talking about are available, so we just need to get your sizes again, and so remind me what your size was if you're interested in a men's ministry shirt, and we'll get that to Glenn and get the order placed, and perhaps even in time for Christmas. We're not 100% certain on that, but it could happen. All right, so just see me or let a note out on the Narthex table, your size and name, that would be extremely awesome. All right, we're gonna enjoy the sounds of Christmas as our senior choir leads us in Ave, Ave, the Angel Song.
Oh, Lord, we pray.
ave. I learned a new word this morning. When I said ave, I'm like, that can't possibly be right. So it's ave, ave. I enjoy your presence here this morning. I encourage you to stand up and greet one another as we prepare for the Advent reading, the second Sunday of Advent. We're going to welcome Gene and Jack Myers this morning to share in our Advent reading.
The passage chosen for this second Sunday of Advent describes Paul's perpetual prayer for one of his favorite congregations, the believers of Philippi, that looked after his every need while in prison. He writes, "I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you." In the ninth verse, the reader learns the content of his prayer. "And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ." What kind of prayer might a congregation use when praying for such abundant love? Maybe something like this. Would you join me in the unison prayer as printed on the back of your bulletin? O Lord of relentless love, kindle within us a love that is genuine and a joy for the truth, leading us to bear all things that make for harmony and well-being. Strengthen our inner person, grounding us in love, so that Christ might dwell in our hearts through faith. Help us to understand fully God's unbounded love that surpasses all knowledge, so we may be filled with the fullness of God. Teach us to speak the truth in love and to grow up in the art of caring and understanding. Grant us courage to empty ourselves out of love like Christ, who was born in a stable and forced from his homeland. By living humbly and embracing the needs of the refugee, the banished, and the imprisoned, assure us in all things that nothing can separate us from God's love found in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Guys, for our opening hymn, the angel Gabriel, the one who came to Mary in a vision and shared that she will bear the Son Jesus, number 180.
Thank you.
You may be seated. What an incredible assurance we have this morning that we serve a God who we can come to in prayer. We can come to in our hour of need. We know that it is a God who goes alongside us, that is with us every step of the way. We invite you during this time to share any joys or any concerns that may be upon your hearts. And we know that the Lord indeed knows all that we're going through right now. And we can trust in his provisions and know that he is a God that cares deeply for us. A microphone will be passed around so we can all hear. Just want to share one prayer concern that was handed to me. Elvin Brubaker, many of you may know him, passed away on Friday. And their loss is the husband, the father, and grandfather, Elvin Brubaker. So our prayers for their time of grieving go out to his family.
Prayer for Jim, and thanks for all the prayers that everyone's been giving for strength. I also like prayers for my brother, Clifford Berger. He's going in for a bypass this week, and I'd like to have prayer for him.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Yes.
I have a joy. The baby we've been praying for, Matthias Bear, came home from the Children's Hospital Thursday night. He was in over a month for open heart surgery. He has a long way to go, but he's doing wonderful. Oh. So thank you all.
Praise God. Yes. What a precious baby boy. I got to hold him the other week, and he is just a bundle of joy. Amen. Any others this morning? Yes.
I have one more prayer request. And the meal of the day that I honor is home with the Broncos.
Okay. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here as brothers and sisters in the faith. We know that we serve a God that is very near to each of us. You know the concerns that are on our hearts. You know the sorrow that fills our lives. You know the pain that we experience on a daily basis. And Lord, we're just coming before you this morning, and we're asking that you would just meet us in our hour of need, that you would increase in our lives, that we would feel your healing touch, that we would feel your breath of encouragement. Father, just thank you for loving us, for sending your son Jesus to be born in a manger of a peasant woman named Mary. And we're reminded, Lord, of the sanctity of human life. And we pray, Father, that you would touch each child, that you would touch each parent, each grandparent, each family, individual represented here today, and just allow them to know your love in a real way. Father, we do think of those that were the victims of a shooting in San Bernardino, and we pray, Lord, for the evil in this world. We think of ISIS in particular and the horrible circumstances that they are creating. But we know, Lord, your light even shines through that. And we're praying, Father, for them to be able to see that light and to turn from their evil ways. Be with each victim's family and comfort them during their time of grieving. We think too of our Nigerian brothers and sisters who face persecution every day as they meet in a place concealed many times, but often in the open, and risk their lives to be able to proclaim the news of their Savior. Father, give us that same boldness to be able to share our faith in this world. We think of our brother Pete and our sister Carol and lift them up in a powerful way today, asking your healing to be upon them as they recover. We think of our brother Michael and ask that your encouragement, your hope would be instilled into his life, and you would allow him to see your love in just a powerful way today. We thank you for our sister Jen and sister Joyce and sister Roberta and brother Jim, and just ask your healing touch to be upon them as well. Lord, we indeed know that you are a God of miracles, and just pray, Lord, that your miraculous touch would be upon each one. We think of Amelia this morning suffering from bronchitis and ask that you would just nurture her. We think of Angie and Matthias and rejoice with the family that he's able to come home. And we're so thankful for that touch that you placed upon his life and for modern medicine as well. We think of Martha and we continue to lift up Leonard as he recovers. And for Jess, Lord, give her strength. Father, we just are so thankful for this time of year to know that a son has been born that makes all the difference in this world. So Father, we're just coming to you now during these next few moments of silent prayer, lifting up those concerns of our heart and also lifting up those sins that have plagued our lives this week and asking of your forgiveness. For we know that your son was born, but he went to the cross and died for our sins and was rose again on the third day that we might have victory over those sins. So Father, we confess them to you as well as our personal prayers during these next few moments. Father, we press into who you are. We ask that you would reveal yourself more and more to us each day, that we would know you in deeper ways, that our relationship with you would be transformed on a daily basis because of your love, because of your forgiveness. So, Father, help us to share the Christmas joy this season, the love of a Savior. God, thank you for being here in our midst. We pray your Spirit to move and to guide and direct us in all our ways. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We tune in now to the senior choir singing Mary, Did You Know? Or are we singing something else? We're going to sing Angels We Have Heard on High first, and then we're going to listen in to Mary, Did You Know? Two wonderful songs.
Thank you.
It's that time of year where we're often shopping and giving gifts to so many people that are important to our lives, and we consider a gift and what that means to someone. And to the church, a gift means so much, the difference that it can make in being able to minister on a daily basis. So we pray our gifts would be abundant this morning as we consider the gift that God has given to us through his son, Jesus. Father, we thank you for the gift of your son. We thank you for the ability to have an abundance, to be able to bless others and to bless the church. Father, we pray this morning we would give cheerfully. We would give because of the great love that you have bestowed upon each of us. And we pray, Lord, that we would continue to focus our lives upon you as we cheerfully give this morning. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Child. the children to come up front with me. Hi, Graham. Many, many years ago, a lady named Sarah Hale wrote one of the most best-loved children's poems ever. Many of you probably know this poem. It's called Mary Had a Little Lamb. Do you know it? Yeah? Do you guys want to say it with me? Mary had a little lamb, his fleece as white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. Christmas will be here soon, the day that we celebrate the birthday of Jesus. In our Bible reading last week, we read about an angel who appeared to Mary and told her that she would have a child and she should name him Jesus. Sometimes Jesus is called the Lamb of God. And since Jesus' mother was named Mary, I thought I would read a new poem called Mary Had a Little Lamb. It may never be as popular as the original one, but it might help you remember the true meaning of Christmas. Mary had a little lamb. He was born on Christmas Day. She laid him in a manger bed to sleep upon the hay. Angels filled the nighttime sky, and they began to sing. Shepherds heard them all proclaim the birthday of a king. Wise men saw a blazing star up in the sky that night. They followed it until they found the King of Love and Light. Mary had a little lamb, but he wasn't hers, you know. He was the very Son of God, the one who loves us so. This little lamb, the father of this lamb, loved the world so much that he sent his only son to earth so we could feel his touch. He came to give us peace and joy and take away our sins. So when he knocks on your heart's door, be sure to let him in. Why do we love this precious lamb? What can the reason be? The answer is quite plain, you see. It's because Jesus first loved me. Now I have hearts for you guys because Jesus loves me. And he loves all of you guys too. You can hang on your tree. They have little strings on them. You pass them down. What? You can't tree today? Awesome. You have two trees. Yeah? Here, can you keep passing down? Yeah. Does everyone have one yet? Okay. No? Okay, keep going. Almost there. Yep. You have one, Chloe. It's right beside you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for sending your precious lamb to take away our sins. Help us remember that as we celebrate his birthday, that he was the greatest gift of all. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thanks for joining me, guys.
This morning, unto us a song is sung. In one way or another, music has had an impact on our lives. Whether we sing or we try to sing, we make a joyful sound to the tune that's stuck in our head. There's something about a song that shapes our lives. It has a way of transcending generations and bringing us together. Music draws our attention in ways that nothing else can. It has a way of getting us moving. It starts with that toe tapping, our finger snapping, and before we know it, we're moving all about. We do the twist, the mashed potato, the YMCA, even the Macarena and the chicken dance. Today's teens and young adults, and perhaps some more mature adults here, may even admit to whipping and nay-naying. Others learn quickly that a song has the power to capture our attention. All we need to do is ask Adele. Her hit song, Hello, topped streaming songs for a fifth week with 35.5 million US streams, marking another new record. It's the first song to tally 5 weeks of at least 30 million domestic streams, passing the Harlem Shake. Now, you may not recognize those particular songs or even that particular singer, but there are songs and singers that have stuck in our minds throughout the years. Music, we can conclude, has a powerful influence. There are those go-to songs that shape who we are, how we feel, why we do what we're doing. They pump us up for soccer games, relax us for a good night's rest, or simply get us in the zone for any countless task. Now, not all music appeals to everyone. We may not be into heavy metal or hip hop or rap, but if we want to know a lot about someone, just look at their music selections. Check out their playlist. For the longest time as a youth pastor, I panicked at the posts people were placing on Facebook. It wasn't until I realized that it was a song lyric that they were posting and it was defining how they felt. It can be said, we cope with life through songs. There always seems to be a song that we can play that has the right words at precisely the right time. It was no different for Mary, who encounters the angel Gabriel in a vision, saying that the Lord finds favor with her and she will give birth to a baby boy, a boy who will change the world forever. As we listen in and gaze upon Mary's face as she writes the greatest hit song of her time, we can see how her soul magnifies the Lord at the sign of his coming to establish what will be a love revolution. In simplicity, in humble adoration, in amazement of what God is doing in her life, her soul explodes with joy, with wonder, and with awe for the sacred child she carries. Mary's song reflects the pure greatness of the meaning of the coming of the Christ child. We hear it in Luke 1, verses 46 to 55. It reads, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." As we tune in to Mary's song, we can hear how her soul rejoices because God has been mindful of her humble state. So too in Christ, we have been given the invitation to likewise rejoice that God has not forgotten us. He has stooped low into the mire of the human experience. Jesus, God incarnate, represents to us the great reality that God's mercy extends to us in the tangibility of human flesh. It's all in that name, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, our Savior and Redeemer, friends, hope, and love are here. It brings to mind that old familiar tune, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. And it goes on to say that our face will surely show it. This Christmas, may the song of our heart that Jesus is born shout amen to the world by our response in love to him and to others. You see, in ancient Israel, that happiness came through song. Mary's song tells us that a lot of people, how they were feeling when the news began to break across the ancient Near East, that God at last was sending the long-promised Messiah. The first two chapters alone of Luke's gospel records four different songs as part of this Christmas story. They capture the joy of the people surrounding the birth of Christ. It's not till 10 days after the angel visits Mary that she pours forth her song. To us, that seems like quite a long time coming from a woman who learns she's pregnant. Usually for us, it's a news that we immediately celebrate. But we remember Mary's pregnancy happened under unusual circumstances. She could have been killed for being pregnant outside of marriage. So it's not until she enters the house of her cousin Elizabeth, full of fear and uncertainty, and hears in response to Elizabeth's enthusiastic greeting of blessedness, that Mary allows joy to fill her and sings this song of praise. So maybe this morning we ask ourselves, why was Mary so happy? What possibly had her singing for joy? Obviously, some of it had to do with the fact that she'd be welcoming a baby boy into her family. But there's much, much more at play here, and Mary lays it all out in her song, beginning with God's work in her own life. Remember now, Mary was a peasant girl from Nazareth, a poor backwater village in the shadow of the much wealthier Roman town of Sepphoris. And as Mary celebrates her divine pregnancy, she is proclaiming the mighty work of God in turning the established order upside down in favor of the poor and the marginalized like her. She's celebrating the fact that the last shall now be first, because God looks upon the lowliest of servants with extravagant blessings of love. Even though Mary finds herself in the midst of trying circumstances, even though she's a very small fish in a very big pond, she's able to say, "The Mighty One has done great things for me." And Mary now knows in the depths of her being that in fulfillment of God's promises and in response to the people's hopes and dreams, all generations will be blessed just as she has been. Think about it. With such hopes and dreams becoming reality, how can Mary keep from singing? Friends, at Christmas and throughout the year, how can we keep from singing? But notice, Mary's song isn't about herself. After lifting up God's work in her life, she continues the song with praise of all that God will do for his people through the son she will bear. The song announces for the first time the radical revolution that God is about to begin in the person of Jesus Christ. It prompts many to refer to Mary as the first disciple of the gospel, and for very good reason. So as we look further into this first carol of Christmas, let's consider all that God is up to in the world Mary is so excited about. First, she says, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered those with arrogant thoughts and proud inclinations. You know, pride can be a terrible thing. A colleague of mine once said, I know that God considers all sins equal, But if one sin stands out to me, it's gotta be the sin of pride. We've all heard the expression, pride goes before the fall. We can't help but to think how it leads us to do so many unspeakable things to ourselves, to one another, and to God. Pride, in a way, makes us lose sight of what's really important in life. It affects our priorities, it affects our perspectives in ways never intended by God. It causes us to think that we're better than we really are, which has a way of making us look with judgment upon those we consider less. It actually has a way of leading us to believe there's really no need for God. But Mary declares that God in Christ Jesus brings an end to pride. For as we remember any blessings that we experience, any accomplishment that we enjoy, it is a direct result of God's grace shown to us through Jesus. Even still, it's not just God that scatters the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. Mary also celebrates that God brings down the powerful from their thrones and lifts up the lowly. She's already learned this firsthand. God didn't go to Herod's castle. He went to a tiny village and an unwed peasant girl to carry the Messiah. It's the beginning of God's upending of every social and political structure that we've ever tried to put in place. Talk about a major declaration of who God truly is. Someone shared this story with me about three businessmen traveling for an important business meeting. Their flight on the way back home was delayed, and they arrived in some airport and had a very short time to make their connecting flight. And the men exit the plane as quickly as they can and begin to run through the crowded airport with their briefcases slung over their shoulders and their carry-on suitcases rolling along behind them. As they run, one of the men's suitcases knocks over a fruit stand, causing it all to roll across the terminal floor. Knowing their time is limited, the men turn, wave, and offer an apology as they continue running toward that next terminal. As they went, though, the man who had hit the fruit stand was bothered by what had happened, and he began to slow down. And eventually he turned around and he yelled to his companions, "You go on ahead, I'll catch up with you later." Then he turned around and he retraced his steps to that fruit stand. When the businessman arrived back, he saw that the attendant was blind. But she was down on her hands and knees trying to pick up the mess. So the man kneels down with her and begins to pick up the fruit as well, apologizing again for what he'd done. But as he reaches for each piece, he looks at them and he sees that they're bruised and broken. So he offers to pay the woman for all the pieces of fruit. He pulls out several 20s out of his pocket. And the woman asks him this question, "Are you Jesus?" The man said, "No, far from it. I'm the one who knocked down the fruit stand. I feel terrible about it, so I came back to help. Truly, I'm sorry." And the woman began to explain that as she was down on the floor trying to clean up the mess, she was praying over and over again, "Please, Jesus, I need your help." Sometimes in our lives, we're Jesus to others. It's important as we traverse through this Christmas season that Jesus becomes more apparent to our acquaintances, not just our friends, but to everyone we come in contact with. The fact of the matter is, no matter our status in life, Jesus is the one who puts us on a level playing field. The businessman is found on his knees picking up bruised fruit alongside the blind fruit stand attendant. The homeless man gathering cans to earn a few cents for a sandwich is as loved as the CEO of the Fortune 500 company. The president in the Oval Office is no more powerful than the janitor who vacuums the school floor each night. Jesus, the Messiah, puts an end to the world's labels and the prestige. When what Christ has done for one, Christ has done for all, pulling the powerful from their thrones and exalting the lowly. The final revolution of God in Christ Jesus that Mary sings about is not unlike the one before it. It reads, Jesus will fill the hungry with good things and send the rich away empty. These words ought to bother us, because compared to the rest of the world, we in America are tremendously blessed. But imagine how we could be enriched in a different way if we became part of this revolution, offering good things to the hungry from our abundance. This is exactly what St. Nicholas did some 1700 years ago when he began the tradition of giving Christmas gifts as he went around the town of Myra, where he was the bishop. He put coins in the shoes of any who would leave them at their doorsteps. Friends, we must stop viewing the world in a way that we seek gain for only ourselves. Mary's trying to tell us something, and it's the song that reminds us to keep on giving. We're brethren, but I like what John Wesley once said, earn all you can, save all you can, so that you can give all you can. In the giving of his very life, Christ taught us that we have too much when there are any who have too little. My prayer is we keep this in mind as we rush through Christmas, as we stuff the stockings and beneath the tree. Jesus, through Mary's song, is asking us to look around and identify those needs in our community and in our world. The difficult truth is we need to understand some of the problem begins with us. Our own compliance with the way we feel things should be. We have to remember that the birth of Christ is about revolution. And as long as we live according to the standards and expectations of this world, we're missing out on God's revolutionary work. Over 2,000 years ago, an unwed, pregnant peasant woman broke out into joyous song because she saw the way God was going to change the world through her son. And she, like us, can be immeasurably happy and filled with joy. So why not make this Christmas a revolutionary one? Why not change things around a bit as we celebrate Christ's birth this year? Consider it. Forget about what culture expects. Join in God's work. And we, too, may find ourselves so happy for what God is doing, we break into song ourselves. Let's pray. Father, we have so incredibly much to be thankful for. But Father, we don't ever want to take that blessing for granted. We want to be mindful of the neighbor down the street, the family across the world that is in desperate need for water, for food, for clothing, for shelter. Lord, bring to mind those individuals and help us to meet their needs this Christmas and throughout the year. I pray in the powerful name of Jesus that it starts here at Little Swatara with us, your children, your servants, that we would see the true meaning of Christmas, to give and to share your love. Amen.
Thank you.
Love came down to us at Christmas. Love came in the form of a baby. That baby, I'm sure, when it was born from Mary, made a noise. And that noise was perhaps a cry, and I pray that it would be our heart's cry, that we would care for the least of these, that we would share in our abundance the love that God has given to us. May you be blessed and find peace in his holy name. Amen.